Welcome to our 10:15 service today, and today again we want to celebrate the 60th anniversary of our nation's independence. And I want to talk to you today on Lion of the East, discerning Singapore's prophetic mandate. In 2003, Anne Elmer wrote a very amazing book, a prophetic book entitled Transported by the Lion of Judah. And in the book she describes how she was confined in a hospital bed. She had an accident in the south of France for several weeks, and on the bed she had a series of visions that God gave to her, and the Lord would come to her in the vision by coming in the form of a lion, and she would be transported by the Spirit to various nations where she would see how the Lord would interact with churches and what he would do. You know, he would stamp his paw and he would speak a word, and how things would change and over the nations. But on two occasions she said she heard the lion roar, and the first was in Pakistan, interestingly, in a house church. And she said the Lord was so pleased with what he saw in the small church and roared his approval over the people in that congregation. But she said the second nation where Anne saw the lion or heard the lion roar was in the Lion City of Singapore. I won't tell you the background in which the lion roared, but she said the roar was so loud, so deafening, so strong in the vision that everybody fell on their faces. It was a roar of war against a principality over our nation. And Anne said it was so awesome that the result of that roar was many people she saw in the vision turned to the Lord, and this has surely come to pass. No questions about that. If you look back in 2003, you could understand that that's when the trajectory of our nation, something shifted in Singapore when this roar happened. But you think about that, ladies and gentlemen, of all the places that Anne heard the lion roar, he heard the lion roar loudest in Singapore. It is not coincidental, it is not accidental that we are called the Lion City, and we are called the Lion City because that is our destiny, even if Sang Nila Utama saw a tiger. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Lord will roar from Zion, and may he roar again from Singapore. As we celebrate our 60th year of independence as a nation, what is God saying to our nation? If he could send a letter like he did to the seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, what would he write? To the church in Singapore, write he whose eyes are like fire. This is what I want to address today. In the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, the prophet was told to go to the porter's house, and God says, there I will speak to you. When he went to the porter's house, he saw the porter working on a piece of vessel that had been marred, and he was working over it again. And the Lord speaks to the prophet, and this is what the Lord says in Jeremiah 18 and verses 7. In the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck down, to pull down, destroy, if that nation against whom I've spoken turns from its evil, I will relent. The word relent means I will change my mind of the disaster I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent. I'll change my mind. And concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. The question we want to ask is, can a nation miss out on the call of God? I want you to put that in your think box, because we're going to circle back to that in a few moments. Now, the first thing you got to notice about this passage is that God is speaking to a nation. This is not specific to an individual. It's not specific to a company of people. This is a word to the nation. Now, when God speaks a word to the nation, embedded in that word embedded in that word, come on, is his purpose and destiny for that nation. If that nation accepts the word that God gives and fulfills his commands concerning the word, God is bound. He is bound to fulfill his promise to that nation, and he will bless that nation. My friends, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He said it, he will do it. He spoke it, he will make it good. Amen. So our being blessed as a nation is directly connected with us being aligned to God's purposes. That is the baseline. We must walk in tandem with God for his purposes to continue to be fulfilled over our nation. But if a nation rejects the prophetic word, if they refuse to take heed to what God is saying, then verse 10 says, I will change my mind, I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. In other words, if we reject the word of the Lord, then he reserves the right to forfeit us from fulfilling our purpose as a nation, and the consequences of that
pretty scary. But if we will take heed to what God is saying, then our future is going to be glorious. Woo! Hallelujah. If not, then there are nations that are very quick and would love to be in our shoes. Singapore has been given the scepter over Asia. Come on. We've got to recognize the authority that God has given this island state. I remember I was in a missions conference when I just started out as the church, in the church, as a young pastor. And I was in this the conference, and it was just declared that Singapore was going to be the Antioch of Asia. And a delegate from the Philippines, he got up almost in a challenging, threatening way, said, "Singapore, if you don't want this, the Philippines, we want it." You know, there are many contenders for this privilege. Amen. In 1978, the evangelist Dr. Billy Graham preached in Singapore. Over 5 days in the National Stadium, 337,000 people came to hear Dr. Graham speak. Our population at that time was about 3 million people. So about 10% of the population came to the crusade. After the crusade, Christianity went up by 4 percentage points, and it was the tipping point of our faith. Then he gave a word that Singapore would be the Antioch of Asia, whether he gave the word to a group of leaders or to a small group. It was a defining moment for us as a nascent nation. We were just 13 years into our nationhood. Our future was uncertain. The Iranian revolution had just begun that would eventually lead to a global oil crisis and spiraling inflation. But it was a watershed event for us. And since then, we have seen God bless Singapore as a nation, but not just a nation, but the churches in Singapore has been blessed, and that is indisputable. Mega churches started rising up. Churches were now 5,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people. Strong, charismatic leaders started to rise up and had global influence. Mission organizations flocked to this nation. The effects of the charismatic renewal were phenomenal. And the churches in Singapore, my goodness, grew dramatically. I don't know of any nation in the world where the average size of the congregation are in the hundreds. I mean, God has blessed the church in his nation. Singapore is the Antioch of Asia. No doubts about this. We were conceived in the mind of God to be brought forth in these last days as a testimony to the nations, but our continued prosperity depends on us fulfilling our destiny. So when the Lord asked the prophet the question, can a nation be born in a day? Can a nation be saved, delivered in a day? He was not asking the question because he didn't know the answer. He was asking the question because he's looking for a man or a company of people that would rise up and say, yes, we believe it can be done. And we must be that company of people who will dare believe that Singapore can be saved. I remember watching a video of our first Prime Minister, Lee Kuan Yew, saying Singapore will never, never be a Christian nation. And he said it forcefully. Oh, I'm telling you, he took on a challenge. And I want to just say that the day will come when we might not be ever called a Christian nation, but the influence of the church in Singapore would be undeniable. And I tell you, the day will come when people will flock all over the world to come to Singapore. There are conferences because of God's power and his anointing over this nation. You know, it's interesting. I said in the first service, there's an anointing. There's a special anointing, it's like an amplifier anointing over this nation. And that's why people keep on doing conferences. Do you know how expensive it is to have a conference in Singapore? Do you know how expensive to have a 4-day, 5-day event at the expo is? $1 million. And you think people have to fly in and spend hundreds of dollars on hotels. It's so expensive to do conferences here in Singapore. And yet people keep on doing it. You know, to do it in Bangkok is 1/4 the price. But they still do it in Singapore. Why? Because they know if the word goes out from Singapore, the effect is greater. Because there's an amplifying effect of an anointing over this nation. It's undeniable. No matter how expensive it is, people still want to come because they know that if we can get the word out from Singapore, it's like the word going out from Zion. Hallelujah. There is a tremendous impact it makes. Amen. In the 7th chapter of the book of Amos, the prophet sees a series of visions coming upon Jerusalem. Oh, these were judgments. And he proclaims it to the people. He tells the people, God's going to judge Jerusalem. He doesn't stop there. The prophet goes to his closet and he prays. And what is he praying? He's praying against the vision. He sees the vision. He sees the judgment. He proclaims it to the people. He goes to his room. Now he prays against the judgments that are coming. He says, oh God, please forgive us, Lord. Don't judge us, Lord. And the wonderful thing is God changes his mind. He relents, and he relents because the prophet intervenes. And So Amos was setting himself to be a false prophet because the vision he saw, which he declared, he's now praying against, and basically he was trying to undo the vision he saw. He's not concerned about his reputation. All he wanted was the disaster averted and Israel to be saved. And the Lord says, I want you to be like this. I want you to be like this in Singapore. When James and John wanted to call fire down on the Samaritan village, Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. God is ever merciful and mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, every time there's a disaster, whether it's a sinkhole or that opens up building collapses or an outbreak of some unusual, you know, Singaporeans are very quick to make a joke out of it. I remember when the sinkhole happened, it happened during our 5 o'clock service when I got the news. Well, all in the church, the sinkhole opened, and immediately Bill said, oh, you want free car wash, just go and you know, all kinds of things, right? That's our default behavior. We make a joke out of everything. You call the police. We make a joke out of everything. They didn't get this. The worst thing is this, that Christians, every time something happens, you have all these flaky Christians writing, saying God's going to judge Singapore. Oh, this is it. This is across the line. God's going to judge Singapore. Shut up. Enough of that. Please don't send me any of these things. You know, even during the National Day rally, during the rehearsals, people were circulating this nonsense. You know, there was a circular stage, and oh, it's the eye of Orisis. That's the third eye. And then there's a, you know, this is a... So stupid, you know, these people. And I'm telling you, the Lord said to me, don't be like them. Don't be like them. We don't gloat when Singapore goes through a tough time. We don't gloat. We pray. Right? We don't criticize the gap. We stand in the gap. Amen. I'll tell you, there's something special about Singapore. You don't know. You travel and you come back to Singapore, you'll love Singapore far more. Amen. Every year, National Day Parade. Yesterday, I watched the parade. I couldn't be prouder. I was tearing, and I was just so proud of my nation. I love this nation. Something so special about Singapore that we need to know and understand. And every year at the National Day, my family and I would sit in front of the TV, watch the parade live, would sing the songs proudly, laugh at the outrageous costumes. We would tear when the national anthem is sung. We'd say the pledge proudly. But the one thing for sure, we're all of us proud to be Singaporeans. I'm a patriot. I love my country, regardless of race, language or religion. On the 27th of March, in March 2017, 4 years exactly after the Lord gave the word of Antioch to Billy Graham, there was a prophetic utterance, a dream from a seasoned prophet that a cyclical review is on the way, and God is revisiting the word that he gave to us in 1978. Chris Birkeland, the intercessor for Lou Engel, had a dream the day before Lou came to Singapore. He was in Singapore, and Chris said to us that God brought him back 1978 to hear the word that Mr. Graham gave over this nation. He sees the dream, and then the Lord says to him in the dream, I am coming to Singapore to see what they have done to the word that I have given to them. And I'll tell you, this is very important as a church to be aligned to the vision. And if there was a moment in time where we all sensed God is about to do something massive that would shape and redefine everything we know in Christianity, I tell you, this is it. All over the world, pockets of people, the sons of Issachar, men and women are rising up, and they're discerning the times and seasons and sense a groundswell of tsunamic proportions being activated. Church, this is the hour. God is about to do something great. Hallelujah. We have come a long way, but the question remains, are we any closer in fulfilling our destiny? I want you to look at Luke chapter 21 and verses 29 and 30. Very important scripture. The Lord spoke a parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all the other trees. Now watch this, please. This is the parable. He said, look at the fig tree and then look at all the other trees. Okay. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, the fig tree is Israel. No doubts about that. It is Israel. It blossomed on the 14th of May, 1948, when she became an independent sovereign nation. All the other trees in this parable are the trees that gained independence after Israel. And I personally believe that they're very significant nations. I want you to listen to a few of these nations. Singapore, Taiwan, South Korea, Malaysia, Hong Kong, just to name a few. And all these nations have a prophetic destiny, and so does Singapore. We have an amazing call and an amazing destiny. And I know with all my heart, He's put the scepter of righteousness here in this nation to rule over the nation. There's a ruling authority over this nation, and we are about to graduate into our calling as an apostolic sending base. This is an Asian hour. The time has come, I believe, for God to raise up strong leaders here in Asia. For too long, the church in Asia has looked at the West. We looked at the Western bands, we looked at the Western speakers, and we looked at the Western churches. And while all of that was good, it's time for the Asian church to rise up. It's time for the Asian eagles to rise up. And I believe it will happen. Hallelujah. And revival is going to come, and we're going to talk, we're going to have revival that the Western churches are going to speak about. Amen. There are five things that I want to mention very briefly that I believe contains God's blueprint for His continued blessing over this nation. Number one, we must take a stand for Israel. This is vital. This is non-negotiable, all right? And vital for our continued blessings. We must not capitulate. The word capitulate is often used in political circles to describe pressure upon a man or a group of people to conform to the norm. And I know that there's a lot of pressure on our government to back off from our ties with Israel, but we must pray that our government will not capitulate. Amen. It's really important. Now, we are not political. Cornerstone is a church. Amen. We're not political as an entity. So we don't tell you what to do. We pray for the Palestinian people. We're not against them. Amen. We're against Hamas, obviously, which is a terrorist organization. We're not against any other people. We need to pray for all people to come to salvation. Hallelujah. So this is not Israel versus this. Listen, we're not political like this. We pray for all nations, but there's something about Israel that God says, I love Israel. I'll not change my mind about that. One of the key characteristics of the Antioch church is that they were a sister church to the Jerusalem church, which was predominantly Jewish. And the Antioch church was Gentile. And they help the Jewish communities, right? We must stand for Israel. We must stand with our friends, remembering that it was Israel that helped us to build our armed forces. Seven families came, lived here in Singapore, and they helped us with the building of our national service and our armed forces. Ladies and gentlemen, Singapore reached out to several countries. Nobody wanted to help us. Nobody. But Israel said, we will help you. We owe a debt to Israel. We do. We must remember that the baseline covenant, and this again is non-negotiable. God said to Abraham, whoever blesses you will be blessed, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Ladies and gentlemen, if we want to continue as a blessed nation, we got to continue to bless Israel. Amen. Amen. This anti-Semitism must have no place in the church. Matthew 25 consists of three parables. All these three parables have a common thread. They basically give us an idea of what to expect when Jesus Christ returns, how He will judge the nations, how He will judge the church, and or how He rewards them. And they're addressed to three different groups of people. Very quickly, all right? I want you to understand this. The first parable, I'm going to focus on the third parable, but let me just say a few things about the first and second parable. The first parable is the parable of the 10 virgins, and it's all about preparedness. Everybody say preparedness. It's all about preparedness. Do you have oil in your lamp? Individually, do we all have oil in our lamps? The second parable is the parable of the talents. It's addressed to the servants, and it's all about productiveness. Everybody say productiveness. The first one is preparedness. The second one is productiveness. The third parable is not really a parable. It's an actual scenario. It is the account of how the Lord will judge the nations when He returns. And we're told that when Jesus returns to the planet, He's not going to return to Canterbury, or He's not going to go to Tulsa or Springfield. These are all the big capitals of all the denominations. He's going to come back to Jerusalem. The throne is in Jerusalem. The nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them as a man separates sheep from goats. And what is the criteria of separation? On what basis is He going to judge the nations? The answer is how they treat the least of His brethren. And make no mistake about it, the least of His brethren is the Jewish people. There is no ambiguity about this, ladies and gentlemen. How we treat the Jew is going to be the plumb line, the yardstick of measurement of how He will treat us. We bless Israel, and the Lord says, I will bless this nation. Amen. So we must pray that Singapore will not capitulate and will continue to be a blessing to Israel. Number two, we must model generosity.
60 years ago, Singapore was just a sleepy trading outpost of the British Empire. In fact, 100 years ago, Singapore was a mangrove swamp with a tiny fishing village. No natural resource, only 736 square kilometers in size. No oil, no farmland, no hinterland. When our military trains, have to go overseas. But today, Singapore is a first world nation. Our 2023 GDP was 500 billion. That's staggering when you think about how small our nation is. Our IMF ranks Singapore as the fourth richest nation in the world per capita GDP. Articles have been written about Singapore calling us the ultra-rich city state. But why has God blessed this city in such a short time? And I believe it has to do with our calling to be a financial hub and a financing center for the propagation of the gospel. My friends, world evangelism is not impossible. Coca-Cola has done it. McDonald's has done it. Starbucks has done it. Mickey Mouse is doing it. And they're all trying to reach it. Every time you see a banner, it's a company trying to evangelize. The bottom line is it will take money. That's all it will do. It will take money. And we must not be naive about this. And every time you see a banner, every company is trying to evangelize. You understand? And the church must not stop evangelizing. God has blessed Singapore with amazing wealth. And there's a reason for that. The gospel needs to be funded. And He has already made the provision into the church. Amen. To model His generosity and bless the nations. So we must be careful of self-aggrandizement. We need buildings, but let's not go overboard. Amen. Let's not go overboard. We need equipment. Let's not go overboard, right? I believe that there is a Joseph portal over this nation. Not so much a Jacob portal, but a Joseph portal. And this portal is a portal of big dreams and Joseph's storehouse where the spirit of innovation and revelation would catapult her into her prophetic destiny. Number three, we must continue to send out laborers. God didn't give us the most powerful passport in the world so that we can go to exotic holidays and luxuriate in the sun. Come on. He gave us the most powerful passport in the world so that we can go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's fantastic when my wife and I travel to all these nations. We just go to the biometric stations. We just go through 6 months, no questions asked. I'm telling you, it's such a blessing to have a Singapore passport today. Amen. And I tell you this, what is born in Singapore is meant to be exported. Singapore is export, import. The ships of our coast, man, they just testify of that. Amen. And so we have a call in this nation to send out missionaries. I asked my missions pastor yesterday, I said, how many missionaries do we have? Career missionaries in the field. We have 14 right now, full-time missionaries in the field. Hopefully by the end of next year, we'll reach 20. But we want Cornerstone to be a sending church. Amen. If you trace the golden era of United Kingdom, there was a time when Britain was called Great Britain, and it was a United Kingdom, and you will see it is directly correlated to the number of missionaries that they sent. Britain was famous as a mission sending nation. They gave us the Hudson Taylors, the William Careys, the David Livingstons, the George Mueller's, the Amy Carmichael's, the Wesley Brothers, the Reese Howells, woo, and the Jim Elliott's. I tell you, you get the point, amen? You get the point. When that stopped happening, the blessings slowed to a trickle. It crossed over the Atlantic to the colonies, what is today known as the United States. And again, the golden era of that nation was when they sent forth the missionaries. America is the largest mission sending nation in the last century, and God has blessed her because of that. Now I believe God is looking to Singapore, and will we rise up to the challenge to be an Antioch for Asia and to send out missionaries and to be committed to our alignment to the Great Commission? Come on. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah, amen. And so we need to stand with the Jewish community. And you know, the Gentile, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. It's at Antioch that the church really exploded. You know, global mission started in Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. It was at Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. So when we say Singapore is the Antioch of Asia, it is more than just sending out missionaries. It's also the birthing place of kingdom initiatives, a financial hub for the kingdom. You know, Antioch was at the edge of something that has never happened before. And so I'm telling you, it's Singapore. Asia is looking at us everywhere we go. They're rolling out the red carpet. So we need to take advantage of the open doors that God is giving to this nation right now for the church to wake up and say, Lord, this is time for us to go. Amen. Number four, we must continue to uphold righteousness in this nation. Proverbs 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any nation. our nation, if we continue to uphold just laws, righteous laws, He will continue to bless us. But if we start getting crazy with these gender issues or this LGBT agenda, or if the family unit starts disintegrating, then everything that we build could be disintegrated and crumbled. You know, Rome wasn't built in one day. We know that famous phrase. But Rome also wasn't destroyed in a day. It was an internal decay that happened, and so we must watch against that, right? Now, I've got four kids. I remember when our kids were born, when the first thing in the hospital, you know, they count the number of fingers, the number of toes, and all these things, you know, physical things. And you know, when they're born, all parents desire for one thing, for the child to grow physically, healthily, right? And so we see the child develop physically at each juncture of the child's life. We send the child to the pediatrician, and the baby would be weighed, and the progress would be tracked, and they come back in 5 more weeks, and we'll charge you again a lot of money. And but there comes a point in time in the life of a child where the parents no longer look for the physical growth. We begin to look for other signs of growth, things like intelligence, personality, emotions. Then at a certain age, we look for things like responsibility, integrity, discipline, character. And at every stage, we are trying to impart the right stimulus to see how the child responds. Now, Singapore is like that child. We've grown. We're growing up. And God has blessed the churches in this nation with growth. Singapore is well engineered, well socially planned, but no doubts about that. But we must be careful to guard against perpetual adolescence where we think that life is a playground. Ladies and gentlemen, life, this earth belongs to the Lord. Amen. The earth is the Lord, not our playground. So we got to be careful, you know, that I know that they just announced, you know, that Clark Quay, it's got to be 4 o'clock in the morning. They can dance all the way. And, you know, kids and people think, my goodness, this is what life is about. Boy, let's boogie. Let's go down into nightclubs and let's enjoy and drink ourselves silly. That's not what life is about. Amen. All right. That's not what life is about. Come on. So as the church must not be drawn into this as well. Amen. We must not be fascinated in Singapore. Who's got the biggest church? Who's got the largest church? Who's got the biggest budget? Who's got the biggest meal? When we look at these things, ladies and gentlemen, it's so shallow, it is so immature of the church, and we must stop doing that and start growing. We must look for generosity, we must look for humility and our willingness to sacrifice. Is there integrity in the church? Is there character? Is there maturity? Amen. God is not interested in taking us and throwing us on a scale to see how heavy we are. We must begin to take responsibility for our actions and behave in a responsible way. Come on. I just want to stand here and say that the church is, the nation of Singapore is so, so loved by the Lord, so important to God. He cannot lose Singapore. He cannot lose Singapore. He's invested so much in this nation. Not just but that, because it's so close to his heart, and he's arising from his silence. And oh, may the lion of the tribe of Judah roar again in Singapore. Amen. Amen. Let me close by just saying that a few things about Singapore. You know, Singapore is, and you all know this, it's rated one of the cleanest and greenest cities in the world. It's one of the safest countries in the world as well. Our transportation system is world-class. Our standard of living, one of the highest among the world. Our airport has been voted the best airport for many years. Our Singapore Airlines, one of the best carriers. Our education system, world-class. So how could a third world nation, so backward in just one generation, in 60 years, transform itself into the most admired, most desired nation in the world? It's because God has blessed us. Come on, we must recognize this above everything else. It's not by our strength. It's not because we're clever. It's not just because we have got a great government, or just because we've got a hardworking labor force, and you know, or where we are situated in the Malaysian archipelago. Ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed because God has blessed us. And we must never forget that. We must give thanks to God for what He has done. Now, demographics, of course, is changing quite a bit. Today, we are Asia's fastest aging city. My wife and I, we added to the statistics here. The number of suicides have increased rapidly. The number of divorces very high. Although we are one of the wealthiest nations, we do not rank high on a happiness scale. We're 34 in the rank of global, in the global index. I know there are different surveys that are done, but in one survey, it ranks us 34. So that's pretty down. Are you happy? Almost one quarter of the people living in Singapore are foreigners. That's not a bad thing, by the way, but it sometimes creates social fault lines. But God's plans for this nation is not going to be thwarted. What is the mandate? The mandate is Singapore has to be the Antioch of Asia. Amen. We must not slip into arrogance or apathy. If we choose Antioch, I believe God will release mighty angelic help for this nation. Amen. I want to close by saying number five, last one very quickly, that we must take care of the poor and the needy as well. I love it yesterday at the parade where they brought in all the children who were disadvantaged and physically in other ways, and we honored them, and that was so good. And I thought to myself, if Singapore will continue to take care of the poor and the needy, those that are disadvantaged physically, those who are disadvantaged mentally, if we will do what is right, share, be generous, oh my goodness, God's going to bless this nation, and we're going to see the most glorious days ahead of us, not behind us. Amen. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. I was invited to a function in the United Nations several years ago in New York. Accepted the invitation. And on that week itself, on the very day we landed in New York, our first prime minister passed away. And my wife and I were so disappointed that we were not here in Singapore to grieve with the nation. But we were in the United Nations, and I was having this function, and I was seated in a table, and all of them were ambassadors. And they all looked at me and said, "Are you the new ambassador from Singapore?" I said, "No, I'm just a pastor. But I am an ambassador of the kingdom too." Amen. We are ambassadors of the kingdom. And I believe that God has called us for a divine purpose and destiny. There's a story that we all love, and I want to close with this. It's a story of Jonah in the belly of the whale. There's nothing nice about that story. He's in the fish for 3 days and three nights, and the acids were burning him. By the time the fish actually vomited him out, he was white as snow, man. He was covered in the bleach and the acids. I mean, he was tormented for 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. And then he comes out. He's very unwilling. He goes to a city that he doesn't like to pronounce judgment on the city. The city was Nineveh. It was the pride and joy of the Assyrian Empire, full of evil, full of idolatry. And he prophesies this. In 40 days, God's going to completely wipe out the city. The word goes up to the king. There was repentance all around, from the king to the slave. Everybody, they clothed themselves with sackcloth, and they humbled themselves and they repented. And when God saw the repentance, he said, "I'm going to spare the city." The prophet's not happy, but he couldn't do anything about this. God says, "I'm going to spare the city." Do you know how God spared the city? 100 years. 100. He gave the city another 100 years to live. Singapore is only 60 years. 100 years. After the 100 years, they blew it again, and God sends another prophet. His name was Nahum. Nahum. And the Lord says to him, "You tell the people, this is the final. There's no more opportunity to repent. This is it. I'm going to judge the city." And the Babylonians came in, of course, destroyed Nineveh. I want to just say that when the Lord looks at us, he wants to see our response. If we would humble ourselves, if we would repent, I believe that our future is always going to be great. It would keep ourselves small in our own eyes. You know what's this is the bottom line for the judgment. The Lord spoke of Nineveh. He said, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment against you, O Capernaum, because of the light you have received." They saw so much light, so much grace, so much miracles, so many things happening in Capernaum. They didn't believe. And the Lord says, it's going to be better for Nineveh than for Capernaum. That's how he's going to judge, by the light that we have received. And I don't know, boy, oh boy, I don't know of any other city in the world that has received so much light than Singapore. We've been a blessed nation. Everybody wants to do a conference in Singapore. You know my schedule. I don't do this anymore, but it's always people calling up from every part of the world. "Pastor Young, we're coming to Singapore. Can we meet you? Can we take 2 hours of your time?" So many hundreds of people. And I just don't have time to meet everybody. But I'm just telling you something about this nation, that everybody wants to come because there's an anointing in this nation and we must not lose it. Let's all stand in the presence of God. We're going to sing that song, "Count on Me, Singapore." Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Bob doesn't know that song. He's from here. You'll sing it? Yeah. What was it? What song are you going to sing? Home Truly. Yeah. Like, I can. Well, you would try it, right? Yeah, let's go for it. Bob can't sing it because he's not Singaporean, so. He's going to get PR soon, right? All right, we're just, I want you just to be in an attitude of prayer. You know, the Lord loves this nation. I want to just, I don't know how to emphasize it. I feel so much this favor over this nation. He says, I love Singapore. Pray for her. Don't be happy when things, you know, sometimes go wrong. Don't be like those people that will make fun. They will gloat over the problems. They will prophesy evil things. He said, stop doing that. I don't want you to be like this. And I just want to say to you in Cornerstone, Lord, let's not be guilty in just forwarding all these nonsensical stuff. You know? Really, I mean, stop doing that, right? Just start praying for Singapore. Stand in the gap. Don't criticize the gap. All right, let's try home truly. Woo! Hallelujah.
Truly, where I know I must be, where my dreams wait for me, where the river always flows. This is home, surely, as my senses tell me, this is where I will.
Praise offering, amen. This is home truly, home truly. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this nation of Singapore. We thank you that we have another home in heaven, Lord. That's a real home, Lord. But while we're on this earth, while we are pilgrims and sojourners on this earth, Lord, we thank you that Singapore is our home. We love this nation. And we pray, God, for the welfare of this city, Lord, that you'll continue to favor and bless Singapore. On her 60th anniversary, Lord, multiply her blessings, Lord. Double the blessings, Lord. And I pray that Singapore will be the example, Lord. Everywhere we go in the world, Lord, Singapore will shine like a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, Lord. It will be a city that will be known for the power of the Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, it might be that some people say Singapore will never be a Christian nation. Oh, Rabababa Sakarama. We have learned, Lord, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we pray, oh God, that you would fulfill your word to this nation, Lord, and that you will bless Singapore, and we will be truly a nation that will glorify Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Singapore, Lord. Thank you that we were a part of the amazing destiny of this nation. And now, Lord, I pray that you bless all your people with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace, and may the Lord put his name upon you forevermore. The blessing of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit be with you. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. And we say, Maju.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.